Okay, so we're starting our dating series after that quick overview. And the first thing I guess we should know is that question of Basheret. You know, the Talmud tells us in Tractate Sota and in Tractate Moed Katan al Beim Yom Kodmi Yetzirat Avlad, 40 days before the embryo is formed, Bat Kol Yotzet, the heavenly voice comes out and declares, Bat Ploni Leploni, the daughter of so-and-so will be married to so-and-so. Notice that she is the daughter of someone. You're not only dating her, you got to bear that in mind a little bit. She is the daughter of someone. She comes from a family, and that's relevant to us. When you look into a girl, you do want to understand a little bit about her background and where she's coming from. Not that that's necessarily going to make it or break it, but you do want to understand. I'm saying there was a girl whose father was the top con artist, and her grandfather was the top rapist. And she was the most fantastic girl. Her name was Rebecca, our matriarch, Rivka. Yes, he was known as Besuel because of all the virgins he would take. And her father was Lavan, right? So there are, what did I say, Rebecca? I should have said Rachel. Rebecca was the sister, Rachel, right? Rachel. There are wonderful girls who come from complicated situations. No one's saying you should judge her based on her family. But you do want to know whose daughter she is. But coming back to the question, people will sometimes say, people will sometimes say, in heaven it's been decided, so I don't have to work too hard. That's not a correct approach. We have to do hishtadlut, and we have to do proper attempt, to the point where the Chazon Ish is known that a person wanted to offer a shiduch, and they said the young man is sleeping, and the Chazon Ish said, go wake him. Because in shiduchim, you have to put in the proper attempts. It requires a certain amount of effort. You can't just say it's been decided in heaven and it will work out. On the contrary, the Talmud says you should be concerned, Shema yikademenu achel, lest someone else one-ups you. And you can't go crazy. You don't go dating five girls at a time because maybe she's the right one and someone else will grab her. If I don't, that's not an approach. You got to be normal. You date one girl at a time and you date patiently and intelligently. But you also have to apply due diligence. I once asked my Rebbe, I said, if they offer me a shiduch, should I stop my learning and go check out the girl? And he said, yes. You know, can I postpone it to the time in between the sdarim when it's my break? No, because if it's the right girl, then maybe you shouldn't wait. Chazal said, you have to take it seriously. We don't just say, it's been decided in heaven and I'm going to land with the right one. We don't understand how that works. The Rambam holds, it would seem, according to some interpretations of the Rambam, that that's only relevant when the boy and the girl are very, very young. Once you get older, then your shiduch is more decided based on who you are than something in heaven. So we have to make the right attempts to get the right one, and that involves a certain amount of diligence and effort. So we're entering shiduchim, and the first question is, should I start yet? And I like describing this with the following allegory. Imagine you have a pan. You guys know, like a pie crust, a pie pan. You have a pan of water, and you're in the desert, and your best friend is on one of these swings, swinging back and forth. And the next place where you could pick up water is a day's journey away. And you come up to him, you have your bottle, and you have this pan for him. And he's swinging on the swing back and forth, and he says to you, Chaim, give me the water, I'm thirsty. And what do you say? You say, Shmulik, stop the swing, I'll give you the water, I brought it for you. And he says, but Chaim, I'm thirsty, give me the water. And what do you say? Shmulik, I'm holding it for you right here, you just got to get off that swing. And he says, but I'm thirsty. And you say, yeah, but if I give it to you now, it'll all splash in your face. You'll get very little to drink. You're swinging back and forth. Stop the swing. I'll give you the water. What's the swing? The swing is a person who's in flux. People come to Machon Meir. They make big changes in their life, admirable changes in their life. Like I said to someone once, what the average student accomplishes in Machon Meir is more than someone else accomplishes in a lifetime. People here have changed their whole lives and made tremendous strides. But that doesn't mean a person has reached equilibrium yet. A person has to be balanced in order for it to be right for them to go out. If a person's going to go out and they're on the swing going back and forth, as thirsty as they are, the water's going to splash in their face. A person's going to start dating when they haven't landed, so then they're going to make mistakes. You want to marry the right person, you have to be balanced. That's the first question. Are you ready to date? So the average person thinks they're balanced. The person, even though a person can be really fluctuating in their observance level and in their aspirations for life, and their dreams have shifted, but people think they're balanced. And so I've developed a little formula, which I think helps people. I'm not sure it's accurate, but I think it helps people. We are going to discuss how in dating, what we're really looking into are a number of things. We want to see that our personalities match. So has your personality been consistent in the last 6, 12, 18 months? Question number one, have you had huge personality shifts? Have you started taking medication that affects your personality? Have you been consistent in your personality? Question number one, for 6, 12, 18 months. Question number two, have you been consistent in your values? When you're dating, you need to match in your values. What's important to you? If 12 months ago you believed that the Palestinians have equal rights and the Jewish state has to stop persecuting them, and then you came to Mechon Meir, and then you suddenly realized maybe there's another side to the coin, and maybe there's a different story playing itself out here, and I didn't really have the full picture. Fine, whichever way you've gone, I'm not discussing that point, but have your values shifted on core issues? Number three, has your observance level shifted? Of course we're always growing, but there's a difference between someone who's shomer kashrut and someone who is not yet observing kashrut. Someone who dons tefillin every day, someone who does not don tefillin every day. Someone who keeps Shabbat, someone who does not yet keep Shabbat. There's a difference. So has a person's observance level shifted radically in the last 6, 12, 18 months? Okay, what have we discussed so far? We said values. We said personality. We said observance level. Next, number four, aspirations, your dreams. Now, dreams doesn't have to mean you know what you're going to do. Many people have gotten married where they didn't know how they were going to support their family. When I say dreams, I don't mean necessarily I'm going to be a carpenter, I'm going to be a businessman, I'm going to be a dentist. I'm talking about your dreams. Now, if your central dream is I'm going to be an internet salesman, so then that might be a big function of who you are. But it could be that your personality has nothing to do with how you're going to support yourself. Your dreams are, I'm going to have a family, I'm going to live in Israel, I'm going to settle the land. There are many other things that are the focus of your dream, and the question of how you're going to fund that is not really a central question in your personality. Different people to have different things. For one person, the idea that he is a fireman, that's his life. So that's his dream. For someone else, his dream is all about other things, and the way he funds that dream is a side question. So a person can date and get married, even though they don't really know how they're going to fund themselves, so long as that's you have a responsible answer to that question. Meaning a person does have to ask the question, I'm getting married the morning after the wedding, there are bills to pay, there's rent to pay, you got to put bread on the table, you got to pay electric, you know, you got an electric bill. So you do have to cover that question in some way. Please don't make cracks. It really detracts from the class. So you do have to answer that question seriously, but that's not necessarily a part of the dreams. Yes, Daniel? It's a legitimate question.
If you don't have an answer
for
that, it's over. 90%.
There are girls for whom that question is number one, and that tells you something about her. And there are girls for whom that question is not necessarily number one. And that tells you something about the girl, too.
It was important to them. Maybe the 10% wasn't that important. When you get married, then the question comes important.
I noticed something else. That they want to know if you like what you do.
Okay.
More than that.
I think that.
It's complex what you say. Dreams. What are your dreams? Is this your dream?
I think there's. The question is also what your answer to that question is. It's one thing if a person says, you know, I have a family business, which I have an open invitation to enter, and I'm not entering it right now by choice. And I have a degree in X, Y, or Z, and I'm choosing not to go that route. Right now, I'm not yet sure which way I'm going to go. We had a student here who was dating, and I knew that he had a degree and he had a position, and he chose to explore other angles in life. He thought he might go into education, and so he left the field in which he was proficient to explore the option of going into education. And one day I get a phone call from a man who tells me his daughter is dating this student of ours. And he said to me, you know, it's getting real serious. How is he going to fund the family? And I said to him, look, I'm not up to date right now where he's holding. But I can tell you that he's a very responsible person. And I know that he has experience and he's proven himself in a certain field. And in that field, I know he's had job opportunities. He's just chosen not to take them. So I'm not concerned about him, about how he's going to fund a family. I know that last I spoke to him, he was checking out a different direction for his life. I'm not sure what his conclusion is. If it's important to you, I'll ask the guy. But in all honesty, I said to the girl's father, I said, knowing this young man, he's responsible, and I'd feel comfortable with his marrying my daughter, that he'll provide for her. And that was enough. The girl's father did not pursue the question. So I'm saying there are different types of answers. When the answer is not clear, okay, but I'm saying there's a difference between saying, I don't know, and saying I have option A, B, and C, and right now I'm not yet sure which course I'm going to take. I'm saying there's a way to answer that question. But fine, to each his own. You know, coming back to home base, okay? So we have to ask ourselves, are we balanced? And you'll notice on all the different questions I gave, I said 6, 12, 18. My preference is that a person's been on a steady path for 18 months. I can hear when a person's been on that path for 12 months. Some people say that it's enough if they've been on the path for 6 months. I'm not such a fan. Less than 6 months, to my mind, is ridiculous. If you're less than 6 months on a steady path on all those points, if you've had shifts within the last 6 months on any one of those points, then to my mind, you have to take more time before you start dating. Less than 6 months, to my mind, to my, you know, little old me, you don't have to take my opinion on anything, but to my mind, it's not tenable. Then you're not there yet. I do recommend that you get an outside, honest opinion of whether you're ready to start dating. Be careful who you ask, because you might ask that aunt that thinks that you shouldn't start dating until you're 35, have a career and $2 million in the bank. You know, you got to ask someone that shares your view on life. You can't just go and ask anyone. But it helps to ask yourself those questions and also get an outside opinion, because I've seen people think they were ready to date when they really could have used more time. For guys, it's usually not so critical, the difference between dating now and dating in a year. For a girl, a year can make a big difference. For a guy, the difference between a year is not huge. Meaning if you're 21 or 22, if you're 31 or 32, if for a year's difference in a man's age is far less relevant than a woman's age. Okay, so you verified, you've come to the conclusion, you are ready to start dating, and now you want to start. Okay, so I recommend you take a piece of paper. First, take a notebook, okay? Make it your shidduch notebook. Whenever someone comes and has an offer to offer you, take down the information. Who's offering it? What date are they offering you? Meaning, what's the date? Write down, today is the 11th of the month of Tammuz, Tavshinayin Hey, and Chaim Shmendrik came to offer me a shidduch. The girl's name is Kach Vekach, her age is Kach Vekach, and Chaim Shmendrik's telephone number is such and such, the girl's age, and, a very important question, how does he know the girl or she know the girl? And how long do they know the girl? How many times have guys dated a girl only to find out that she has a previous marriage, she's divorced with 3 kids, no one bothered telling them. The shotgun says, gee, I'm sorry, I didn't know. Yeah, so ask the question, how long do you know the person? How do you know the person? What's your connection with the person?
What's a good answer for that?
I said earlier that even if they don't know the person well, I've set people up and I've said, you know, I don't know this person well. I once called the United States to set up. A guy came to Israel for 2 weeks. The story goes back over a decade. About a decade ago, I was learning Mila back then. And a former student came. He was visiting Israel for 2 weeks. And he made a very good impression on me. And I thought he matched for an older sister of a friend of mine. So I called the United States and I said to the girl's parents, I said, I don't know him. You know, I just met him today. And I'm not going to see him much longer. He just came for a visit. I saw him one day. But here's his contact. Here's the information. Here's where you could look into him. This is who he is. He's a doctor in this and this university. And check him out. I believe that if you're honest with people and you tell them that your knowledge of the party is limited, then I think people should take a shidduch seriously. Like I said, I've set people up where, in my first conversation, I had the good fortune of setting them up with their spouse. And that was my first conversation with them. So you should take every offer seriously. Don't knock an offer just because the person doesn't know me that well or doesn't know the girl that well. Take it at its merits or lack thereof. Verify. Check out the girl. But check her out, as we will discuss. So arrange for yourself a notebook. And in the notebook on the first page, you write down the formula we just said. Okay? If someone offers you shidduch, you open a new page, write down that person's name and number. Write down the girl's name and age. Write down how they know the girl. And then write down whatever information they'll tell you about the girl. And ask them for a few references. If the references they've given you are only teachers or adults that know her from a different vantage point, ask for friends. Ask for roommates. They know the person much better than the teachers do. Try to get those names. And if you don't, then you call a teacher and you ask her for names of references. Okay, so you've opened your notebook. Next, take the back page of the notebook and try to figure out for yourself what's important for me. What am I looking for? Whenever I ask people, what are you looking for? People don't know how to answer that. So I'll give you a few titles, okay? Are you looking for someone who's energetic? Are you looking for someone who's gentle? Are you looking for someone who's warm? Are you looking for someone who's smart? Are you looking for someone who's smiley? Are you looking for someone who's a good daughter? Are you looking for someone who's a good listener? Are you looking for someone who's very active? Guys, these are points. You're not going to get all of these in one person. Okay? Are you looking for someone who's very organized? Are you looking for someone who's very easygoing? Are you looking for someone who's very reliable? Again, these don't match into one personality. Which of these are importance number one? Which of these are importance number two? Which of these are nice but not so important? Does it matter to you whether she is Ashkenazi, Sephardi, Temani, Ethiopian? What Eida she's from? Russian? South American? Does it matter? Does it matter to you what height she is? I usually ask guys and girls when it comes to looks, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, what number do you want? And most guys say 7. They don't want to say 5, and they don't want to say 10, so most guys say 7. But you should ask yourself the question, and I'll tell you the answer is really that there's no one barometer. There's no one measurement of looks. The answer when it comes to looks is you have to feel comfortable with her looks. Your friends don't have to think she's gorgeous. Your mother doesn't have to think she's gorgeous. You have to be comfortable. And looks are important, but you don't have to decide about looks right away. Sometimes you go out with a girl and you're not crazy about her looks, and then after a few dates, you suddenly feel like her looks are great because you've developed an affinity for her. I was invited once to the birth of a baby. They were celebrating the birth of a baby, and the parent comes to me and says to me, "This is your baby." I said, "Well, how so?" And the parent reminded me that when they were dating their spouse, they were about to break it off. He reminded me where we met. And he asked me, "I'm bothered that she's short. Should I break it off?" And I said to him, "No, don't break it off." And he said, "But it bothers me." And I said, "You've dated her 7 times? Give it another 7 dates. If in 7 dates it still bothers you, we'll talk again." 7 dates later, he was head over heels over. There was nothing to talk about. So he remembered this conversation. He said to me, "You remember I cared that she was short? Boy, was I stupid. What difference does it make? She's got such personality. She's so great. You told me I was going to break up with her." Okay, we had a guy who dated a girl who was overweight. And he came to me after the second date and said, I think I'm going to have to break it up." I said, "What's wrong?" He says, "Everything's great, but she's overweight. It doesn't look like that's going to change, you know." I said, "Why don't you give it a few more dates and then decide? You know, He said to me, it's not going to change. I said, it's not, it's probably not going to change. That's true. But the way you view it might change. Give it a few more dates. Let's see how you feel about it in 7 or 8 dates. And he comes to me, this was a real complicated story because they lived in 2 different parts of the world. They had to fly out to meet one another to date. But things went well between them. And by the time this dating session had ended, it was worthwhile for him to fly out to meet her again. And he flew out to meet her. And after half a year, they would date like once a month. Whenever he could fly out to date, he would fly out to date. And whenever not, she would fly in to date. And after half a year, he comes to me one day and he says to me, I have good news to tell you. I said, what's the deal? He says, I'm getting engaged. I asked to who? He tells me that girl. And I'm waiting. I'm standing there silent. I'm not sure what to say. And he says to me, he says, could you imagine I got everything I was looking for in life and good looks too? And I paused. I didn't know what to say. Like, I didn't know if he was joking or not, right? So I waited. And the look on his face said that he had forgotten our conversation from a half a year ago. The look on his face said he was serious. He was beaming. He was glowing. He tells me, can you believe I got everything and looks too? So I said, good for you. Mazal tov. You know? Okay. So I'm saying, don't be quick to decide. Looks are important. You don't know. I'm not saying you should overlook looks. But, And you should know that what one person considers gorgeous, another person thinks is terrible. And this is so funny. This is like a Shadchanit told me last week. She says to me, all your guys are funny. I said, why are my guys funny? She said, whenever a guy calls me up and tells me looks are so important to me, when I go to the wedding, very often she gets invited, she said to me, I go to the wedding and I look. And I have to tell you that all the guys, all of your guys who told me looks were important for them, didn't get girls that were good looking. And they're all convinced they got the nicest looking girls. So I wasn't going to discuss it with the Shadchanit, because what do I care? She likes the looks, she doesn't like the looks, the girl likes the looks. It just showed me something very interesting. Because all these guys are asking for a girl that has great looks. And in the Shadchanit's eyes, none of the girls they married were good looking. She said to me, it's a constant by you. I don't know why by me, but whatever. She says to me, all your guys who ask for good looks, they end up marrying girls who aren't good looking, and they're all convinced they're beauty. So fine, let them be convinced. So okay, I wasn't going to argue with the Shadchanit, but I don't have an opinion anyways, but I'm saying it showed me something. You go call up a Shadchanit and you tell her, I want a good-looking girl. She's not going to set you up with the girl that you think is good-looking, because beauty is really in the eye of the beholder. Here the Shadchanit is telling me, none of the guys got it. So looks are important, but don't be quick to decide. I am against looking at pictures in advance. Never, I don't accept girls' pictures before a date, or guys' pictures for that matter. I recommend looking at Facebook not in order to see her picture. I recommend looking at Facebook because you want to understand, you know, you see a lot of different angles of a person through Facebook that you might not see by looking into them. Not because you should see her picture, no. On the contrary, I've never agreed to accept a girl's picture. Sometimes girls send me a shidduch resume, so they'll sometimes send me an attachment and they'll say, if you want to know what I look like, and I always email back, if you want, I'll forward it to my wife. I will not look at your picture. On principle, I don't think it's right. And when a guy asks me what a girl looks like, I'll always say, I don't know. If my wife has seen her, I'll say, you can ask my wife. I don't know. I don't think it's modest. I don't think it's right. We should not be looking at a girl. Because, I have no right to look at a girl. The Torah prohibits a man looking at a girl for her beauty. And B, I think that the facts are that different people value different things. For one guy, if she has a winning smile, she's gorgeous. For another guy, you know, you ask a Chinese and he tells you if she's got eyes like this, she's beautiful. You ask a guy who's not Chinese, he might think it's not beautiful. I have no idea. You know, there are different things that speak to different people. In certain cultures, if she's got a big nose, she's gorgeous. Pasuk and Shir HaShirim. The verse in Song of Songs describes her as being beautiful. Apech kimigdal ha-Lebanon. Your nose is as big as the Tower of Lebanon. Gorgeous, right? I have no idea, you know. Some people say it has character if she has a big nose. I don't know.
Different stroke for different
folks. Right. What are you going to say? I'm saying that. And Rashi writes on that. He says, I don't know what the beauty is in a big nose. Rashi on that pasuk. Apech kimigdal ha-Lebanon. Okay, I don't know. You know.
Do you agree that it saves time, though? Like,
No.
A big no?
It saves time from having to go out with somebody who's who you're not attracted. It's not attracted to you. You see the photo, you're like, yes, no, maybe so. I mean, maybe so, I can say go out. But if it's like, oh, you just look at it, not attracted.
Right. Like I just said, wait a second. I just spent 15 minutes explaining that a person's looks are going to be viewed differently after you know the person. You shouldn't be so shallow. I'm sorry. That the looks.
Shallow. It's just basically saving time.
No, it's not saving time. It's not. It's ruling out people who could be perfect fits. It's ruling out people who, it could be that if you date them for 10 times, you would like their looks and you'd feel very comfortable with them. If you want to, you're connecting to a human being. This is the person you're going to build a life with. And if you connect, then you might really enjoy their looks. The fact that when you look at them and you have zero knowledge about them other than their looks, so then their looks are not attractive to you, that's why I said the term shallow. Because it's really, you're only gauging the looks. When I'm not saying you should overlook the looks. I said very clearly, looks are important. But look at the whole picture. And very often, after you hear what the person has to say and you feel good with them, so then slowly but surely their looks grow on you. And I'm not saying you should marry someone who you're not comfortable with their looks. On the contrary.
It could be a bad picture. Who knows about the picture?
I'm not going there. I'm saying give it time and then decide. Okay, yes.
Besides the references and viewing and other people's other sources on the first date and from there on after, how do you look at something like inner beauty, as you call it sometimes? How do you estimate, how do you...
Give it time. We'll get there. We'll get there. So... when a shadchan calls, if you can't focus, ask them when you could call them back. You want to start dating, tell everyone you know and their uncle. Wherever you go, tell people, I'm interested in going out. When I was in yeshiva, people were not setting me up. And then when people would ask me, how are you? I'd say, Baruch Hashem, not so good. And they'd say, what's wrong? And I'd say, when was the last time you offered me a date? And then the guy would say, but I don't have anyone to offer you. And I'd say, you and everyone else, because I haven't gone out in ages. So people would say, you're pressuring me. And I'd say, that's right. What am I supposed to do? I was back in the age when you only had dial-up. You didn't have real internet, right? You had dial-up internet. You didn't have all these dating sites. You didn't have an option if no one was setting you up. So... when I was in yeshiva and I was here alone, I didn't have, my family wasn't here. So I would tell people, you know, I'm interested in going out. And slowly I would find the way that people should think of it. Now, a smart person keeps reminding people. You don't have to be a nudnik and it's a balancing act. But I value those people who send me an email every 2 or 3 weeks and they say, hey, I'm just reminding you that I'm looking. Because at the end of the day, if you're reminded, then when this girl will come up or that girl will come up, you'll say, hey, maybe that's right for him. But if the person's fallen in the dust, so, okay, who's heard of them? Save the names of the girls you've gone out with. Save the descriptions. I'm still setting up girls who I was set up with 17 years ago. It's unfortunate that they're still single. But I'm still setting those girls up.
But you've met those girls, right?
Some I've met and some I haven't. I've set up girls who refused to meet me, but they didn't think it was a good match. And then I saved their information. And then when someone else came up who I thought was a good match for them, I tried setting them up. For sure. Yeah, 17 years.
So.
No, I was my wife's first date. She wasn't my first date. Oh. no. Okay. So you've taken down the information. Now you're going to call and check out the girl. So you have to play the following game. When you call to check out a girl or a guy, the first thing that's going to happen, the first thing you ask is, hi, I'd like to call and ask you about so-and-so, okay? We'll call her, give her a name, guys. What are we calling the girl we're looking into?
Miriam.
Miriam?
Juliet.
Miriam Juliet. Okay, so you're calling up, hi, I'd like to ask you about Miriam Juliet. When would be a good time? And if the girl says now, that's great. She's more believable. If the girl says, call me back in 5 minutes, she's already told you that chances are she's calling up Miriam and asking her, should I tell them your parents are divorced? Should I tell them you had a bout with anorexia or who knows what else? Be very cautious when someone tells you, I need 5 minutes, we'll talk in 5 minutes. It could be innocent. It could be they're just waiting to get finish their line and pay for their groceries. But it could not be innocent, so pick up your antennas.
So where does the picture of Chua come
in? Pause. It's a good question. Not for now. Maybe later. So you're going to call, and then you're calling her best friend Chava. And her best friend Chava says, boy, she's my best friend. She's amazing. She's great. She's wonderful. What do you want to know? And you're going to say, I want you to tell me about her. And she's going to say, she's great, she's amazing, she's wonderful, what do you want to know? And you're going to say, she didn't tell you anything, you notice that? And you're going to say, well, I'd like to understand a little bit better who she is. And she's going to say, she doesn't want to say again, she's great, she's wonderful, she's amazing. She's going to say, I'm not so good at this. Could you ask me questions that'll help me answer you? Most girls you call will give you this answer. I'm not so good at this. Could you please give me questions that will help me answer you? And you play the same game and go the other way. And you come back and say, great, could you tell me a little bit about her? You see what you did? So she says, well, she's nice, she's warm, she's funny, she's witty, she's very liked by her friends. What else do you want to know? And you'll say, can you tell me something about her personality? And she'll say, her friends all like her, and she's always the guy who volunteers to help all the other girls, and she's a very good student, and whenever her parents need her, she's there to help them. What else do you want to know? And you'll say, could you describe her to me, please? Notice you're asking the same question over and over and over again. The key is you're not falling into that trap of asking specific questions. Leave that for last. When you ask specific questions, you're guiding them with your question as to what you want to hear. When you ask an open question, you're not guiding it. You don't know what they're going to tell you. You want to hear a real answer, what type of person she is. If possible, it's always good to ask for a story. Do you have any stories that illustrate? Do you have stories you remember? I like to ask, were you in her home? Do you know her parents? Can you describe her parents' home to me a little bit? It's interesting to hear. It can be insightful. And when you're done, you say, gee, you've given me so much information. I'm new at this, and I would really like to find out a little bit more. Can you please give me the name of two friends who know her well? And if she gives you the name of two friends who you already have, don't say, gee, I have those already. Say, thank you very much. And that's it. Gamarnu, thank you very much. You've been very helpful. You should realize that the second she hangs up with you, she's calling up Miriam and telling her everything that was said in the conversation. And she might even be so rude as to venture an opinion about whether Miriam should date you or not. That's been known to happen. So,
thank you,
Grandma. So think about how you discuss things with her, because when you're talking to the friend, the conversation with the friend will go back to her. I recommend at some point in the conversation to ask, are there any health issues I should know about? Now, are there any health issues I should know about? Do you know if she's taking any medication for anything? Should I know about anything? Is there any health issues in the family? Now, when you ask that question to some people, that's a very weird question. Some people are not prepared for that question, and they'll say, why, do you know something? And you don't want to give the person a bad reputation. So you have to be very careful how you ask that question. You could even say something like, when I went to a dating class, they told me to ask this question. They said that you should always ask, is there any health issue? Because I'm just adding for you, you don't want to develop a rumor about the person, you just want to ask the question. Okay, you've asked person number one and taken notes. Now ask person number two. After you've asked two people, and then you compare it to the Shadchan's description, you look. Do the three descriptions match? If they match, then you decide, does it make sense to go out? Sometimes they don't match. I remember once a girl that the first person told me about her, she is so quiet, she doesn't say a word, she is the epitome of modesty, and the next person tells me she is so outgoing, you can't get a word in edgewise, the second one happened to have been a right description. But it doesn't matter, the two completely contradicted one another. So I knew something here was wrong. You ask, you compare, and then if necessary, you get a third opinion. You verified with two people, now you decide. You call back the shadchan, you give an answer. Usually I recommend that Shadchanim should offer the guy first. Not everyone does that. Some people offer the girl first. And then you should be aware of that. Because if the girl, meaning who do you ask first if they want a date? So I recommend asking the guy first. But sometimes the Shadchan will ask the girl first. And you have to know that, because that means you have to give an answer quickly. If she's waiting for your answer, try to give an answer as quick as possible, within a day, maximum 2 or 3 days. But you should try to really give an answer quickly if she's waiting for an answer. It is important to get back to the Shadchan. I could tell you as a Shadchan, when I offer a girl to a guy and he doesn't get back to me, in my mind, I'm not offering him another girl for quite a few months. Because I've offered him my best option. If I've offered him the girl, that's my best option. If he didn't get back to me, so in my mind, he had a better option to go out with. Someone said offered him a better girl. Someone that, not necessarily better, but someone that was better fit for him. So then why should I offer him someone else? I've offered him my number one for him. So I'm going to wait. If in 3 or 4 months he doesn't get back to me, maybe I'll call him back again. But if the person calls me back and says, gee, I looked into this girl and I really don't think we match because of kach, v'kach, 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 so then I have a picture. Okay, I might offer him someone else on the spot. I might not. But at least I know where I'm standing and he knows where he's standing. When you don't call back a shadchan, you're leaving them in the dark and it's really not nice. It's not respectful. The guy took of their time, someone took of their time to talk to you. Call them back. Give them an answer. Now, some shadchanim are pushy. There's a reason people don't call back shadchanim. Because some shadchanim argue with you. They fight with you. Why aren't you going out with my girl? You can't be so picky. You're never going to get married if you're going to behave like this. This isn't... What? Right. Some shadchanim are not respectful, and I apologize. There's nothing I can say. I don't see any reasons why people should be that way, but that's a fact of life. You got to deal with it. Fine. You deal with it. Okay, let's just take a vote. Should we take the next 10 minutes on Shiduchim, or should we go over to Navi and other things? How many people want to continue on Shiduchim? How many people want